Alrighty. Morning. All right, today we're going to be in Leviticus 9, 1 through 9, and then 22 through 24. All right. Do we remember what happened last week? Do you? I'm glad somebody does. Okay, why did Moses call the people together at the entrance of God's tent? Cool. They were ordained during that time. Why did Moses pour oil on Aaron and smear blood on his body? Cool. To cleanse, it's better than the book. To cleanse and anoint sinful Aaron for his priestly work. All right. Today's questions are going to be who presented the offering to God? After Aaron offered up the sacrifice, what did he do? Why did the people shout and fall to the ground? All right, let's go to the scripture. Leviticus 9. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goat as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for him, for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood of to him, and he dipped his finger in it, in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. Now, 22. So, then Aaron lifted his hand towards the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their face. All right, so who presented the offering to God? So, after Aaron offered up the sacrifice, what did he do? That's correct. He blessed the people. Why did the people shout and fall to the ground? That's right. And if you'll notice, as soon as they did the sacrifice, and God appeared. That was interesting. It wasn't, you know, as you see some of these different mediums and stuff like that, they'll have a pause for effect. God didn't do that. As soon as they finished it, he was there. That just impressed me a lot right there. In public worship, God's people are blessed by God and humbly blessed God in return. The tabernacle was set up. The priests were ordained. Now it was time for God's people to gather together to worship. What What excitement must have filled the air of the Israelites assembling at God's tent for the first worship service? It would have been awesome. That first worship service would have been great. I can't talk now. All right. For the worship of God's sinful people to be accomplished, the blood of innocent animals had to be shed. That's the sad thing right there, that innocent blood had to be shed for what we do. Not what somebody else did, but what we do. Innocent blood had to be shed. And now Jesus paid that blood price for each of us. Innocent animals had to be shed. The blood had to be shed. This was a messy and smelly ritual. If you want a picture of what it was like, take a trip to the local slaughterhouse. Anybody that has ever been around an animal that's been butchered, whether it been deer, beef, pigs, whatever, it's a nasty affair. It stinks. When I was a lot younger, I was building a set of apartments for a guy, and when the weather was bad, we had to go and work at his butcher shop. And being laborers, we had all the bad jobs. Had to clean up all the blood. The worst thing was going into the hide room. They would take the hides off the cows, and they would salt the hide and stack them one on top of the other. And you talk about a smell. That stunk. The decomposing meat, the smell of the salt, the hair, it was just nasty. Take my word for it. So if you ever want to know what your sin costs, go to a butcher shop and smell deeply. That will be one of the indicators. By the blood of the bulls and goats, the priests and the people were made fit for the presence of God, being cleansed to offer up prayers and promises to Him. When we gather when we gather with God's people for public worship this coming Lord's Day, we won't meet with a bloody ritual like this. So we don't have to worry about the blood anymore, because again, Jesus paid that price for us. But it is no less true that we need blood today in our worship. It is to be pleasing to God. The reason we don't offer sacrifices like the Israelites did is because Jesus has offered up Himself once for all on our behalf. It is His blood that cleansed both pastor and people to come into God's presence in worship. God spoke His word of blessing through Aaron, like the way He speaks His blessings to us through pastors today. Aaron could hardly get the work of blessing out of his mouth before God showed up in power and majesty. Being blessed by God and seeing His glory, the people bowed low and blessed God in return. That is how worship works. God blesses us through His word and by His Holy Spirit, and we respond by blessing His holy name in song and praises and prayers of adoration and thanksgiving. And so the first worship service was carried out, giving God's people a pattern for public worship throughout the ages. And we do the same thing today as they did back then. Why does public worship require blood? That's correct. Blood is always needed in God's worship because we are sinners. Our sin deserves death. And if we are to live in God's presence, that death must be suffered by an innocent substitute. Does God bless us in worship, or do we bless Him? Both, that's correct. Worship is a two-way communication in which God speaks blessings to us, and we respond by speaking blessings back to Him. God's blessing towards us is always gracious. We don't deserve it. But our blessing towards God is always less than what He deserves. Why should our worship of God, be humble. That's right. Because God is great and we are not. Perfect answer. It's almost like you read the book. The Israelites bowed low in worship because they saw God in his glory. Though we may not actually bow our faces to the ground, we ought to have lowly hearts as we come into God's holy presence. Could you imagine if God appeared to us today? What would you do? I'd fall down, but you don't know until you get there. But I thought, got to thinking about that this morning. What would I do if God just appeared? It's hard enough when I'm praying, especially if I'm by myself, because I think if I look up, I'll see God's face and I'll die. So I look down all the time. It's just my weirdness. But anyway, let's pray that God would help every member of our family to prize public worship and engage in its humble and joyful. Let's try this again. Pray that God would help every member of your family to prize public worship and to engage in it humbly and joyfully through Christ. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all you do. We thank you for that first worship service and that it teaches how to serve and worship you, Father. Father, we thank you so much for your word that it teaches us what you want us to do. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray.